Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Author Charles Soubie is making his first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about his love of writing, but what it's been like for him to share it with all of you. I had a chance to read his book, A Shot of Malaria, that features the man Daniel Martin. We'll talk a little bit later with Charles about the creation of Daniel, but also what it's been like for him to write these stories that are not only entertaining, but I think help us to look at our lives a little bit differently as well. If you're just hearing about the book, A Shot of Malaria, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Charles, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live. We're glad that you could join us today.
Well, hello, Cyrus. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, look, I'm glad to do it. You know, I think it's so interesting. When I first got the book, and I thought, wow, this is a big book, but it really goes by so fast. I think that's the great thing about the way you were able to tell Daniel's story, Charles. I mean, what has it been like for you to see the way that people have been drawn into the book and able to take this ride along with Daniel Martin?
Well, it's actually very gratifying, you know, and I like to think it's, a journey that a lot of people, you know, have not been exposed to. And usually the way that it's been depicted, you know, in other books and in movies has been, you know, a lot, not that it's, I think it's a pretty gritty book, but that, you know, it's more of a cliche look at the world of addiction, you know, with a lot of violence and, criminal activity, and not as much of a look at personal relationships and things like that.
Right. I'm glad that you mentioned relationships, Charles, because one of the things that I noticed in the book, and I even referenced it in my intro to this segment, is that the people that Daniel meets, I think, share some amazing lessons, with him as well as with us as well. I'm going to be mentioning a couple of the ones that really struck me a little bit later. But one of the things that really got me, and I noticed when I was prepping for this segment with you, that you have been one of these people, even with your first book with Winifred, you've been able to, you know, kind of capture people's attention. When did you first realize that writing was something that you were interested in, Dan?
Well, you know, it happened twice. It happened when I was in high school. I was encouraged by a couple of teachers that I had that I should keep writing, you know, after taking, you know, basic writing classes. And then I started writing a novel about a folk singer who moves to Nashville to try to make, runs away from home, actually. And I got so absorbed in that character that I picked up guitar and became the character and then never wrote again for about 30 years. And then I got back into it. I found a mentor at College of Marin in Kentfield, California, who I worked with for a number of years, and he really helped me hone my craft. Improv has helped me a lot, too. I'm an improv actor as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think, you know, that is the great thing about it. You know, I really will, you know, say, you know, when I was reading the book, that it really is one of those things that, you know, draws people in, and that's the great thing about fiction as well. You know, I think, mm-hmm. you know, there is this thing about when we read a book, you know, that we're able to kind of be taken by the story. Has part of the exciting thing been for you, Charles, that, you know, that people are able to really understand what Daniel is going through, even if they haven't had to deal with, you know, addiction for themselves?
Yeah, well, that's what my hope is. You know, I just wanted to put a face on it. So, you know, I can't actually speak to how the book is taken by people who read it, and particularly people with no background in that. But, you know, that definitely was my dream, was to try to get, you know, like I say, just, you know, put a personality on it and something other than, you know, a caricature or, you know, a stereotype.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that is the thing. You know, I referenced there was a couple of things that really struck me about, you know, about the way that it was presented, Charles. And one of the things that got me, and actually it's later in the book, and again, you know, for our listeners out there who haven't had a chance to read it, they'll be able to see this when they read it. There's a great conversation that takes place on an airplane with the main character, Daniel. And he's talking with the person that he's sitting next to about, and one of the issues that he's dealing with, there seems to be many, but drinking is one of them. And, you know, and he asked him a very simple question, and that is about, you know, stopping. You know, and
right.
I think that is, you know, a thing that really a lot of people, whatever their addiction may be, that's one of the things that they're interested in. And the person says something very, you know, very profound to me, and that was, I surrendered.
Right, exactly.
I think, you know, so talk to us about that. Talk to us about, you know, what it's been like for you to be able to share a message like that, that really the key to any type of freedom from things that we're going through is to be able to surrender.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, and it's she puts it very simply, and then she walks off the plane and leaves him standing there. And you know, and that's the you know, for me, what I had to do is I had to surrender all of my preconceived ideas about everything, because you know, I mean, I'm a guy with a lot of dreams and fantasies, you know, creative mind, which can be a liability sometimes. But what happened was I was so married to that thought that it just, you know, it was almost impossible for me to see reality through it. And so consequently, you know, the disease of addiction was working through me through the thoughts. And until I could totally free myself from that, you know, I was unable to, you know, find a path out.
Yeah. You know, so talk to us about that, about being able to, you know, to not only, you know, I think to get us into the skin of Daniel Martin, Charles, but also to make us more empathetic to people, because I think that's one thing that I thought about when I was reading the book, and even because I knew I was going to be talking with you, because I think that a book like this, written the way it's written, helps us to better understand the person rather than the problem. Was that kind of part of the goal?
Yeah, actually it was, and you know, to a certain extent, I think he's kind of a deadpan character, so that you know, he can just say things, you know, about like the environment that he's in, you know, without having making an obvious conclusion. You know, he's probably the last person to find out most everything that the reader gets, you know, and there's a lot of irony. And that's the whole thing, is to see, you know, there's certain innocence. I mean, not to say that that's always the case. You know, I mean, there's obviously, you know, a lot of darkness in that world, but there's also a tremendous amount of innocence and naivete. You know, and that's kind of tied into what I was talking about with regard to, you know, the delusion. You know, being caught in thoughts and dreams, and not being able to sever that and see reality as it is.
Yeah, and I think that, again, is the interesting thing. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking today with Charles Soubie. He's the author of the book, A Shot of Malaria. I'll be telling you all a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. But we've also been talking about the main character, Daniel Martin, that the story is kind of told in his voice. You know, there is an interesting thing, and I'm curious as to, because, you know, we hear all the time about life imitating art. Charles, so one of the things that Daniel has an affinity for are movies. Are you also a person who, you know, who finds a lot of enjoyment and meaning in movies as well?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. In a sense, I think writing in general has actually been influenced a lot by film. And there's a little sense of that in the story, although unlike a lot of, you know, modern-day novels, which, you know, jump from point of view to point of view, this one is, you know, firmly rooted in well, other than the counselor's notes, firmly rooted in the main character's POV.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love film. You know, I think there's so much that can be said visually, you know, without words.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, basic segue and sequence.
Yeah. There was another reason why I brought that up, though, Charles, because one of the things that Daniel talks about, one of the movies he discusses, or I guess you discussed with Daniel in the book, is Jurassic Park. I actually want to read this because I think this is interesting. And I thought about it myself, and I have to be honest with you, I've only seen the first one. I haven't seen the other movies in the series. But this is what you write in the book about Jurassic Park, again, talking, you know, through Daniel's voice. Jurassic Park was good. It was a story about someone who creates an incredible theme park by resurrecting dinosaurs. They ended up turning on him, and he loses all control while they gobble up everyone around him. It was a great metaphor for something, but I couldn't figure out what. You know, I read that, and I thought, I knew I had to mark that for one thing, because I knew I was going to have to read that, because, you know, how interesting it is, and this is what I took away from it, and then we can kind of talk, you know, as much as you'd want to about this, that so many times we create, you know, our own prison, or we create our own demise. And when I was reading that, I never actually thought about Jurassic Park the way that Daniel, you know, talks about it. And when he says, you know, it was a great metaphor for something, is it kind of one of the things that you take away from something like that, how that if we're not careful, something that we've spent so long to be able to craft can really end up being, you know, the doom of us?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it becomes a hypnotic trance. You know, and that's something that, you know, I realize I have to be aware of, you know, in general in my life is, you know, I don't necessarily know what's best for me. And a lot of times, you know, the things that I go for to make me happy end up kind of making that hole I have get bigger. You know, and sometimes the counterintuitive things that I do that don't seem like that are, you know, quote unquote good things don't seem like they're going to make me happy tend to make me feel fulfilled. You know, yeah. So, but I mean, he was, you know, he says that completely deadpan again. You know, I don't think he's really clear on what he's trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and in that same chapter, there's another great conversation, again, using the individuals around him. Charles, if you've been able to do so well in this book, as you did on the airplane, you also were able to do it when he's talking to this guy, you know, about drinking. And the guy, you know, kind of talks about this situation that they're in, about having trouble drinking as if they're in a dome. And I want to share a bit of that. Mm-hmm. The guy explains it to Daniel this way. All cravings bounce off the dome and come back imbued with the power of God. Once you're locked in, it can't be broken, ever. That's why heroin addicts have such a hard time. It's not the physical addiction, it's the dome. They try to walk away, but the echo of their cravings follows them. Wherever they go, a divinely imbued echo follows them. Sometimes it follows them in the form of people, other times in uncontrolled events. But it tracks them down. It tracks them down like a bloodhound. They think they're free, and bam, they're back in the trap. That's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to write, for one thing, and to explain it that way. You know, talk to me about that, because, you know, I mean, these words are not just words that are just there. I mean, these are words that, you know, I'm curious, you as the creator of the word, for one, and being able to share this message with Daniel, you know, what was that like for you to come up with yourself and then to share through a character?
Well, what I was trying to explain to a certain extent was a personal sense that, you know, in my own experience with addiction, that I always felt like I was a victim. I was a victim of causes and conditions outside of me, you know, that it just kept setting me up. You know, it was people, bad people that would enter my life, you know, events would happen at the wrong time. And it just always seemed like, you know, in a world of synchronicity, that everything was synchronizing itself against me. And that was a way to kind of put that into words. And then, you know, and then because I've had the opposite experience, since I've gotten, you know, clean and sober, that the things have conspired in a different way, you know, toward, you know, making me freer, you know, and kind of, you know, releasing me from the addiction.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was kind of what I was trying to express. Plus, it's a... you know, I think I got the dome idea from, you know, basic, you know, ancient Sufi teachings.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, it's so powerful. And I think, too, and we talk about it on this program all the time, Charles, that sometimes fiction can sometimes be just the truth that we all need to help us look at ourselves differently. And I think, you know, look at ourselves without judgment, because they're real people, you know. I mean, we're able to look at the lessons that they're able to learn from, look at the situations that they're in and say, wow, you know, I hope I'm never in a situation like that, or I definitely want to make sure that I don't get locked into that. When you first finished A Shot of Malaria, what was your hope as you were able to tell Daniel's story the way that you did, to talk about his challenges, his wanting to live a life, but to be, you know, kind of plagued, you know, by these, you know, these shadows, you know, that seem to not let him be free. What were you hoping that the reader would be able to take away from it, other than just enjoying a great book?
Well, you know, actually, I mean, first I was just hoping that it would be read. And I think just a general, entertainment is one word, and, you know, it's certainly not a bad word if you're a writer, but, yeah, there is, I think, just sort of an added depth and perspective in life. I think that the book also tells a much greater story than the story of an addict. I think the addict actually is kind of a metaphor for the human condition. It's extreme. It's kind of like, you know, when Sigmund Freud was in Austria and he saw all these extreme characters and came up with his theories based on that extreme environment. I think addiction sort of does that in a different sense. Sort of tells a human story using something that's a bit exaggerated.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that people will appreciate, I mentioned movies, because movies make an appearance throughout. And, you know, I mentioned Jurassic Park, and then, of course, even on the plane, other than movies. But another thing that makes appearance throughout are books. Books are big in this book as well. I mean, You know, have you always found that books have been a good friend to you, Charles?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, and I've gone through different phases of reading. I've read a lot of spiritual literature. Then I get, you know, back into American, you know, Twain and Hemingway and people from that period. Right now I'm reading actually a lot of contemporary authors. But, yeah, literature is key. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, as far as, you know, kind of having an understanding, it's important, you know, to match it with a living life as well, as opposed to living in a library. But, I mean, it's a great source.
Exactly. Totally agree with that, as is this book. Again, everyone, Charles Soubie has been our guest today. He's the author of the book, A Shot of Malaria. It's available right now through our friends at Amazon.com for sure. Charles, I noticed, and we tagged you in it, you're actually on social media as well. You're at C. Soubie is where people can find you on Twitter. What has that experience been like for you, to be able to kind of join, you know, the world that way and to communicate with readers and also other book lovers?
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't really used Twitter much. I've been using Facebook, but it's a great vehicle. I mean, I'm amazed by modern times. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we could say negative about, modern technology and what it's done. But I choose to look at it as just, you know, kind of a miracle of communication. You know,
right.
Information that I never would have been able to access, you know, 20 years ago. People I've never would never be able to have contacted. You know, getting groups together. It's just, I mean, it boggles my mind.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, it's a great thing to be able to use. We actually tagged you both on Facebook and Twitter with your handles there, so our listeners can be able to find you easily, Charles. Really appreciate the time today. Is there a website that you'd like to give out as well for people to go
to? Sure. Yeah, it's charlesrsoubie.com, and it's my web address is linked to a blog right now, but
okay.
I may change that.
Okay, so charlesrsoubie.com, and Soubie is S-O-U-B-Y, is where
right.
they can find you there. Charles, thank you so much again for stopping by,
okay.
And I hope you'll come back. We'd love to have you back on.
Thank you, Cyrus. I really enjoyed this.
Well, look, I appreciate that. And we appreciate you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you came in late and you missed part of the show, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available on our social media sites, as I mentioned, on Facebook.com/CyrusWeb, or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.